Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. My name is Grayson Maxwell, and joining me, one of my co-hosts,
Roger Stillian here.
All right, Roger, how's things been? What's going on this week, man?
Happy Easter, buddy.
Oh yeah, we're recording this on Easter Sunday, the first zombie of the
That's right, the original zombie. No, sorry, second zombie.
Second zombie.
Well, yeah, the guy he brought back from the dead.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
So that happened.
Whose birthday would it be? Would it be the birth of, the rebirth of...
Nobody's birthday. It's they come back to life. Jesus. Jesus, yes, Jesus. The Jesus.
I know, I just didn't... I said birthday, I just didn't want to go with it, but... Oof. Well, happy Easter, everyone. I hope everyone's Easter was good. Hope it was filled with good friends, good family, and most importantly, good food.
The Jesus from the Big Lebowski came back from the dead today.
He did, okay.
No, he didn't. Okay. Sorry.
And I hope you enjoyed... I hope everyone had peeps. As well. Today is the one day that it's acceptable to eat peeps.
It's not ever acceptable to eat peeps because they're disgusting.
Roger and I have this incredible hate for peeps. I just think they're so disgusting. I can never... Every time I think it's a good idea to buy peeps, I eat the first one out of the package, I end up throwing the rest away.
It's not. I was actually shopping yesterday. I know I sent the picture to you of the Oreo peeps.
The Oreo peeps.
Like, they're... Oreos that have a peep impression on them that have like marshmallow cream filling, which actually might probably taste good, but it's just an abomination. And I hate it.
All peeps should be. And then you send that video of the peeps being melted.
That mega peep. That's melted. Good. It's what should happen to all to peeps. All peeps. They should only be melted.
To all peeps everywhere. Well,
so that was a weird way to start this podcast, huh?
Be talking about peeps, but hey, it's Easter. You know.
Happy Easter.
You know what? Actually, I had to work today, and I think the spirit of Easter is gone. The spirit of every holiday is gone, I think. That's definitely a thing. So.
Well, I mean, you could go, like, the religious reason why some people don't celebrate Easter. I mean, because maybe they're not.
Yeah, we were busy today, though.
Maybe they're not Christian.
I mean, you know? I get that. I do. A lot of people don't celebrate it, but, I mean, it is, for the most part, you know, it's a huge North American holiday.
It is. It is a big deal.
So. It always boggles my mind because I can remember a time when, but this is before I started working in a movie theater, but before I don't work in a movie theater now, but before I started working in a movie theater when we were young, nothing was open on Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, and then by the time I was old enough to start working, not everything, but at least movie theaters were open. Well, no, movie theaters were always open.
Movie theaters have always been open on pretty much every holiday as far back as I can remember.
But then as far, maybe a year or two into working... That's when the mall started opening later. That's when Walmart opened and all the retailers opened because they wanted
Became like a Thursday.
Yeah, that's
just a busy Thursday.
Sometimes it boggles my mind that no one even cares about, and I don't say no one, but a lot of people just don't care about holidays anymore. At least the sanctity of spending time with your family, not going out, you know, just taking a day and not doing anything.
See, hold on. I'll flip that to the other side of it. One thing I used to always think about because, you know, I did work at a movie theater for many years is maybe one of the reasons they are so busy on holidays is because people don't like to spend that time with their family. And I'm being semi-serious here because, like, if you come from a semi-dysfunctional family, not like myself, my family gets along pretty well for the most part, but if you had to get a bunch of people who don't generally agree on most things together to do one thing, what's a great thing to take that family to do? I mean, seriously, you pack them up, go to the movies, because you don't have to talk to each other for 2 hours, and you're spent quality time with each other.
And you're entertained.
And you're mostly entertained, yeah. I mean, that's exactly the way I look at it. It's a pretty good idea.
Kids, for the most part, are, you know, they're fixated on the screen, and they're not fighting one another. If there's, like, extended family there, cousins that are, you know... But you're right, and my favorite, working in movie theater for many years when I was younger, high school, college, and a little after, is people always just look at me and say, you got to be here today? And I'll stare back at them, because you're here. Because
you come here today.
You come here.
Yeah, people always feel bad that you have to work, but they're still going to come here.
They're still going to come, and they're still going to contribute to that.
Same for all those years I worked retail on Black Friday and eventually became the Thursday. It's like, oh, I can't believe you guys have to be open, but you're first in line to come buy a giant television.
Yeah, of course.
Ridiculously cheap.
But that's just soon.
It's nature of the beast, man.
Soon business will open up at normal hours on Thanksgiving and Easter and Christmas. A little bit of 9 a.m., 10 a.m. I mean, that might curtail to noon, but I mean, it's...
No, I doubt it. Might as well just be... Just don't even look at it as a different day. Just schedule as a regular work day and move right along.
I mean,
shouldn't be open late, shouldn't be open early. 10 to 10 on Thursday, 10 baby, 10, baby, just like every other day. Let's go.
Moving on from that, we're looking at the box office as we always start the show. All right. You want to take a guess what's in first place, Roger?
I mean, I know what's in first place.
It's not Midnight Sun. Unfortunately, it's not Midnight Sun. Ready Player One, this behemoth made by Spielberg. No official budget given, but it's brought in 181 worldwide. Wow, I misread that. Huh? Yeah, 181 worldwide. But the weird part is the foreign market is 128 million.
There is a ton of foreign. Well, yeah. That means they updated the domestic to almost 60 then, because
it's 53. Okay. It's 53 million.
Okay. So, tons of overseas money. I know it was like number one in China and Korea. So big money from that.
Kim Jong-un didn't watch it.
Oh, no, man. He did leave Korea to go to China for some little mini vacation, apparently, past week in some super secret armored train. So, possibly. That's probably what he dipped off to. Just go see some right Spielberg. Maybe giant Spielberg fan. I don't know.
He could be. You know,
Kim Jong-un, if you're a big fan, Spielberg, you know, reach out to me on Twitter. Let me know.
All right. Ready Player One, making tons of money. That's going to keep making tons of money. Will it hit the $1 billion mark, you think?
No.
Okay, fair. What do you think it'll top out at?
I mean, it'll probably, well, see, here's the thing. Most of its audience is going to get eaten up in the next couple of weeks. So, well.
Nothing really until, well, A Quiet Place and Cock Blockers, those are going to do better business than
you think. Aren't they both rated R, though?
They are, but those are going to eat into Ready Player One more than you think. I think Quiet Place is going to make tons of money. That's my prediction. It's going to make tons of money.
I don't know, man.
I really think so.
I could easily see Ready Player One coasting for another week or two max at the box office.
You mean like uncontested for number one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably so. And then its audience gets eaten by Rampage on the 20th. So, I don't know. And Super Troopers will have its own little mini thing.
I don't think that's going to do much, but it'll have a cult following.
I doubt it clears a billion. I'll be surprised if it hits 700 million. 750. Do 750 million. That's fair. But especially because it only did 50-some million domestically, to start with. If it had done like 110, I said maybe. But, you know, it's already burned through a lot of China money, which will it, do you think it does another 100 million overseas next week? Probably not.
No, I doubt it. But we'll see. Number two, Tyler Perry's Acrimony. That's no official budget given, but it's only made 17 million. That's more than I thought I would have made the first week. But
Tyler Perry's got himself a following, man.
He does. And really, truly does. A slow burn. Like, they keep...
He'll do 17 million this week. He'll do, 12 million for the next 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but it'll be in theaters for a while because his movies have a slow burn.
Well, that might actually be the problem with the date coming out for this one, because for anything less than like a 10-plex... There won't be room for it in a couple of weeks. There are so many things coming.
That's a very good point, actually. Black Panther number three, still in the top five, holding strong. No,
what did it pull again this week?
$1.273 billion.
Well, that's not what it came. That's what it's up to.
Oh,
What did it do domestically this week?
Domestic 11. It did 11 million the weekend. I don't think it doesn't give a thing that domestically, but 11 million total.
Another $11 million for Black Panther.
It's third or fourth week?
It's seventh week, dude.
Yes. February 16th it came out. Yeah. Sorry. So, yes, you're right.
It's like sixth or seventh week. Yeah.
I don't know why I thought that came out so soon ago. But, yeah, it still pulled in almost $12 million on its seventh week.
Especially with movies like Ready Player One that should be eating its entire audience. But, hey, good for it. It's a good movie. Strong. Good movie.
I can only imagine up four. That's $7 million budget and domestically $55 million. That's definitely a positive thing for that studio.
I mean, it's eight times its budget at this point.
Yeah,
still making actual money.
It's a good time for it. There's always should be one of those in the theater during Easter weekend, something like that. I remember watching. What was that one with a Greg Kinnear and his kid who?
Isn't that The God's Not Dead in there? Another one of those out right now,
Is there another one out right now?
I think so. Something like that.
There might be one out, but it's super limited. But I know there's two out there right now. Might be a third one, but. What was that one, Heaven Is For Real? That one did insane.
Oh, that's what it is. Heaven Is For Real, yeah.
When his son sees God in the end.
I think there's a second one of those out or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you might run into it in the top 10 there.
Is it called I Can Only Imagine?
No.
Number five, Pacific Rim Uprising. Not a strong showing for
Big drop off. A little bigger than I thought it was going to be, honestly.
$150 million budget, worldwide $231 million. So that's not too shabby.
No.
It's probably right around starting to break even. But I don't know. With all the advertising, $150 million. Let's add on another 50 to 75 million. That's right.
It needs to clear at least 225 to make most of its money.
Well, it's a 231, so then it's making money.
Okay, so it's making money. Well, that's good.
It doesn't have much. I mean, once you go into Avengers, all these movies are gone.
They're done.
Yeah.
Done.
Sherlock Gnomes, number 6. $59 million budget. Worldwide, $30 million. Not much more to say about that. I don't know why the movie was made. I can't figure it out.
I mean, the gnomes have problems that need solved. They do. Clearly.
I mean, but look at the voice cast. Johnny Depp, James McAvoy, Emily Blunt, Maggie Smith, Michael Caine, and Chiwetel Ejiofor. I did not pronounce the name right. Mary J. Blige. And those are all people you know. Like, you've seen
in multiple very, games. Very famous people.
Oh, man,
that's also why the budget is $69 million. $59 million.
Yeah, well, it's not doing great, but... it was fun. I did get a chance to watch it this week.
Okay.
It was fun. We're not going to talk about it, but it was
I want to talk about it. I want to dig deep into Sherlock Gnomes.
We're done here.
No. Oh, no. We're just getting warmed up.
So, number 7, Love, Simon.
So, about Sherlock Gnomes.
We're not going to Sherlock Gnomes.
Who's the protagonist?
We're not going to Sherlock Gnomes. Sherlock. All right. $17 million budget. Only done a worldwide total of $33 million. Check this out.
Shame on you people.
Well, here's the shame. Here's the real shame. Domestically, now keep in mind it's done 33.745, but domestically it did 32.140. So that means foreign market is 1.6 million.
Well, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, though, a couple of weeks back. It's not going to do a lot of money in a lot of places that aren't exactly tolerant to homosexuality.
It's true.
So China...
Our country is very much open to it.
We're not, but...
Well...
we're far more open than some places, you know, because that movie's not going to get released in China. It's not. At all, ever going to happen. Most of those larger overseas markets is probably never going to happen. Probably in Japan, maybe. I don't even know if they care about things like that, that type of movie.
But you're right. A lot of overseas countries probably won't even allow it to be showed.
No, it just won't happen.
Or it'll be in one theater somewhere to say it would release in that country. But
so that's it.
It'll go over to die. But that's a hell of a movie.
See, Love, Simon.
I still think that's the best movie of 2018.
I spent most of this week explaining to people how I was serious about everything I said about Love, Simon over the last couple of weeks. I am 100% serious.
I've had several people see it that ordinarily wouldn't have, and they all said, you're right, that's a fantastic movie. I never would have seen otherwise, they said, but it's fantastic.
It's good, man. I'm telling you what, it's good.
Really. And the same thing everyone said, the one thing is, I loved going back to high school, even for 2 hours. I thought about high school and it was great. So,
yeah.
It does take you back to that time. Number 8, Tomb Raider. Number 5 last week, number 8.
Right off the cliff, baby.
Yeah, right off the tomb. $94 million budget, has worldwide done 245, so it's more than made its money.
It's getting a sequel too, probably.
Oh, I'm sure it's already in production.
Yeah.
As you know, we walk right into it.
I guarantee you, it's a 3-movie deal for her minimum, right? Isn't that how they do that stuff now?
I would assume they do 2, and then the third one,
like an option,
depending on the success. The second one, yes, is built in. But imagine for her, she's already gotten paid for all 3.
Oh yeah, 100%.
They don't do 2 more. She doesn't care.
She does not care.
Not at all. She's already got her whatever. She got 15, 20 million for all 3, I'm sure. Do you think she would have got... I don't think she would have got that.
For 3 movies, maybe. If they did it as a 2 plus 1, I bet you she'd have got 20 million.
If before Tomb Raider, if someone asked you who Alicia Vikander was, would you have been able to say...
No, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I bet she got at least 10 to 15 for all 3 of those.
So, okay, so 5 million each, 15?
Yeah. I mean, she's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Good crap.
Good for her.
Make money, get paid. Number 9, A Wrinkle in Time. No official budget given, $104 million. Why is this movie making so much money? Stop it, people. It's bad.
It is pretty bad.
It is bad. You know what? We're not even talking about it. Moving on. Number 10, Paul, Apostle of Christ.
Oh, here you go. Easter bump up.
Actually, respectable. $5 million budget. It's done almost 12. So that's made its money back.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, good for these type of movies. Like, they obviously know what they're marketing for. They're looking for that same crowd that's going to go see that maybe, hey, after church, let's go get some lunch and go watch a movie. It'll probably, it'll probably coast for another week or so, make another couple of million dollars.
The big weeks are before Easter and the week after.
Yeah, it's basically a 3-week window. So, good. I mean, hope it makes money. I hope every movie is good and makes money, by the way.
Except Wrinkle in Time. Stop making money.
Well, I mean, it wasn't good, so yeah. I know it no longer deserves to make any money.
Oh, you're right. A God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness is out, but it was number 12.
Okay.
It
made $2.6 million. I knew I'd seen something, like a poster, like a one sheet for it. It's one of the theaters I went through.
And you know what's number 14? Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit.
He didn't make it. He made it to the top 14, but not the top 10.
How much money did it make this week?
Peter Rabbit brought in a somewhat respectable, after 8 weeks, $2,000,005.
How much money has it made? I'm serious about this.
230.
Okay, so Peter Rabbit's made $230 million
off of a $50 million budget.
Okay, so it's made almost five times its budget. Yep. We'll probably top out at five times its budget by the time it's completely done. Okay, so if this movie would have came out 2 weeks ago, do you think it would have made more or less money for the entire run?
Yes, because all the weeks it's been out, it's 8 weeks. I see 8 weeks here. It's been out. And
what's the most money it made in a single week?
But in this 8 week span, the pop it would have gotten Easter for being would have been more beneficial than those than probably
free
3 or 4 weeks.
Advertising.
Exactly. Free advertising, of course. And of course your kids would want to go see it. Like it built in, like they kids drag the parents to the theater. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
Again, movie theaters, consult with me about this. God damn it,
smart
people.
Man. Damn it, people. Midnight Sun number 15, Greatest Showman number 17, Jumanji still in the top 20 after 15 weeks. Okay.
And now it is legitimately in blue, like everywhere released.
$90 million budget, 944. It came so close to the $1 billion mark.
I wanted it to be $1 billion.
Yeah,
movie.
Me too.
It's a good movie. You should see it. Download it legally. I don't care.
Download it legally. No one cares. Well, of course we care, but
I don't care.
This past weekend came out March 30th, Ready Player One and Acrimony. April 6th, this next week, you get A Quiet Place, Cockblockers, You Were Never Really Here, and Chappaquiddick. April 13th, Overboard, Blumhouse's Truth or Dare. April 20th, Rampage, Super Troopers 2, and Duck, Duck, Goose. April 27th, Avengers Infinity War, I Feel Pretty in Traffic, and May 4th, May the 4th be with you, Overboard.
No, well, see, it can't be Overboard because Overboard is on the 13th.
It's getting wider.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong about that, but also
going forward next week when we do this, when it gets to April 27th, I don't want you to say anything besides Infinity War.
You know what? I feel pretty.
No, I don't care about that. Okay, just stop.
Yeah, no, I just. So Overboard is getting a wider release, a much wider release on May 4th. So
yeah, no longer need to talk about that. So.
All right. So that means you have 1 week until Quiet Place or Blockers, a.k.a. I call it Cockwalkers, 2 weeks for Truth or Dare, 3 weeks for Super Troopers and Rampage, and a month, just a month for Avengers Infinity War, 5 weeks for Overboard, well, the wide release of Overboard.
Okay, so before we move on a little bit deeper, so let's talk about the week that Super Troopers 2 and Rampage comes out. What movie do you think will make more money opening week? Rampage. I'm not saying overall.
Rampage. I bet you Super Troopers will make nothing. I bet you that movie does not make much money.
I bet you it blows its entire budget times at least 3 opening weekend.
What's the budget?
I don't know. I don't care. Right now. Well, I know it's not more than $10 million.
Yeah, it can't be, given how their recent...
I mean, literally, they had to crowdsource this movie.
Yeah. Super Troopers 2, it's not even, but no budget given. But
okay.
It has a picture of all of them riding an eagle with an American flag.
Yeah, it is the new new poster, and I think it's magnificent.
Oh, fucking magnificent!
It's amazing. It's America.
That is America.
I honestly think now, mind you, I have it's a spot near and dear in my heart for Super Troopers, the first one, because it's a legendary comedy in my eyes, like one of my favorites of all time. I watched literally had to watch this movie at least 500 times in my life. Not a joke, okay?
That's not a joke. That's not an embellishment of any
kind. It is not.
Wow.
It is not.
Okay.
Like, it came out when I was in college. I saw it in theater, and I was still in college when it came out on, like, DVD at the time. But we had HBO in my college house. And back in the day, we had HBO East and HBO West. Literally, when it would come on, like the rotation, we would watch it on HBO East, and we'd watch the whole movie, and there'd be like that 45-minute gap, and it would start again on HBO West. Like, that's what it was, like twice a day. I mean, this was for like a month at a time. We would be that way, which is pathetic, but I like drink a lot, so...
And watch funny movies.
And watch funny movies, and so...
That. So, I mean, no, you're right. I can remember that was, like, I didn't watch it near enough, but road trip, and old school.
Sure.
Those were my two. Sure. Like, I've watched 35, maybe 40 times each. Like, mm-hmm. I just, you know, so.
You love those movies. But see, I think for, like, people like me, my demographic, my age group, people who loved that movie when it came out for everything that what it was, I think those people see that movie opening weekend. I really, truly do.
I don't think a lot of them, I think a lot of them are like you, that are married, have kids, might not be able to make it opening weekend. See, so it might not be opening weekend, but they will see it.
Okay. But, I mean, listen, Rampage is probably going to make more money, okay? I'll even concede that. I bet you Super Troopers makes a ton. A ton. It's going to be a really short-lived ton of money.
When was Super Troopers? Like, what, do you remember what year? Around, maybe a giver, plus or minus a year?
2001? Okay. Two? Hang on. Okay, I'll get the actual, so, I'll get it.
So, your target audience for Rampage 2001. Is what? 2001. Okay, 2001. So your target audience for Rampage is what? It's
males 18 to 30.
I would say even because The Rock 14.
Well, you know what though, it's not going to be rated R, so yeah, it could be lower than that.
So yeah, 14 to 30. But I mean, Super Troopers is targeting the same, but kids that are going to watch Rampage,
stoner comedy, 35 and over.
Well, do you think? Okay, let's just say the average 16-year-old. Let's say 16-year-old boy or girl in high school. Do you think they care about Super Troopers 2?
Well, see, I mean, even if they did, you have to look at that as not the audience they're shooting for, because, again, though, it is a rated R movie. So you can't expect them to be like, yep, we got to market this to the high school crowd. I don't think that's what they're doing either. A
17-year-old can watch a rated R movie.
Yeah,
so you're foolish not to market it to that crowd, because that's a big crowd. You know, they act on emotion. They act on what their friends say.
But see, that's the crowd that Rampage eats up, though.
That's a good point. My point is, that's exactly why I don't think Super Troopers is going to make any money.
I think it will. I just have this feeling that it will make more money than it. You should not be surprised if it clears like $30 million opening weekend.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. But a lot of people I know, some people I talk with expect it to make over $100 million. I'm like, there's no way that movie.
$100 million opening weekend.
No, for total.
I wouldn't be totally surprised by that. And I mean, throughout the life of the whole movie, maybe. If you include, like, DVD and Blu-ray sales, sure. But it's not. To think it's doing anything near that, like, in the first couple of weeks, it's just hilarious.
I would say 30, and I would give it 2 weeks to do $30 million.
Well, I mean, just remember, the week after both of those movies comes out, Avengers kills everything.
And for the next 6 weeks, Avengers kills everything.
Pretty much. So,
you're not wrong about that.
Remember, I think Avengers is going to make $2 billion and clear $300 million opening weekend.
You think Avengers is going to shatter every record ever set by any movie, even Avatar?
Yes.
Avatar made over $2
billion. Yes.
Wow. I mean, we talk about this.
I'm not talking about inflated. I'm talking about, like, straight up.
I don't disagree with you. I hope that they built in rewards for repeated viewings. I hope they were smart enough to do that at Marvel.
Just because
we're getting to that point now. There's so much lore in one movie, you almost have to reward repeat viewings by allowing people to see things they would not have seen the first time.
Yep. So. I hope so.
All right, we've talked enough about that, so we're moving on. Okay, Kurt, so here's some cool thing I want to talk about. I never thought I'd see this, never, but Bill and Ted might be getting a third movie.
Yeah, you know what? They've actually been talking about this for a long time.
They've been trying to get off the ground. Writers Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon are trying to get off the ground. Right now, nothing's official, but Dean Pariseau and Steven Soderbergh are involved in the directing chair.
That's a weird pair there.
Yeah.
I actually just saw something on Twitter this morning where the two writers and Alex Wilde, who is Bill, and Keanu, who is Ted, are sitting in, looks like a writer's room or something, and they're actually wishing somebody well wishes for getting married, somebody from the UK, because apparently somebody's Twitter bio said just be excellent to each other, which is, you know, one of their things, and they end up getting married. They end up getting married, and like they all four wished him well, which I thought was a cool thing, especially because like Keanu basically looks homeless. He's got like a ragged beard and long shaggy hair, which is kind of where I imagine Ted would be in his life at this point if Bill and Ted was real. So
yeah,
it's fine. I'm good with that.
I kind of want.
Oh God! I said Alex Wilde. It's Alex Winter. Sorry.
I was gonna. Something came out weird.
I know people will call me out for that. Bill and Ted fans.
I definitely want to see another Wayne's World too. But do you think we're ever gonna see another one of those?
You really want to see another Wayne's World?
I like Wayne's World. I think it's funny.
But
I don't think it's Bill and Ted. But it's a nice, if you like Bill and Ted, Wayne's World is a nice way to substitute.
I guess I couldn't imagine what a third Wayne's World would be. Now, with Bill and Ted as the time traveler sort of thing, you can go any direction.
Yeah, literally any direction.
Yeah. So I'd never considered the possibility of a third Wayne's World movie. I mean, listen, if it happened, I'd watch it, sure. I mean, I watch movies that I don't like every week, so, you know, so there's that. But so, no, I'd never ever consider the possibility of something.
So, but
like
you
that.
Don't think it's too late for a third Bill and Ted movie?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so either.
No, well, listen, it probably is, but I would go see it. And I'm besides, sure. Do you have to mark it as Bill and Ted 3? Can it just be Bill and Ted? Like, it doesn't say nothing else. Not like Excellent Adventure or Bogus Journey, just says Bill and Ted.
Or Bill and Ted, like, colon excellent or something like that or something yeah. But it could be Bill and Ted.
So you don't have to imply that it's the third movie, and if you write a movie good enough, I mean, it's been long enough that you could do something along it, you could have a standalone movie. It's been long enough you can do it. Now I'd be really disappointed if like the guy who played the Grim Reaper didn't come back, because he's probably the best part of the second movie. So
that'd be a little tough to lock in for those, especially whatever they're doing, if they're retired or who knows. But you never know.
Dude, money talks. Never forget it.
Money does talk, for sure.
I mean, Bill and Ted might get a third movie. Money talks.
Money rules every industry in the world. A League of Their Own, maybe getting a TV series. Do you remember the movie with, obviously.
Of course. Great movie. You actually just watched it not too long ago. It was on like Ovation or something. And it's a very long movie when you factor in commercial breaks, so... has one of my favorite Tom Hanks lines, where he's talking about there's no crying in baseball. That entire spiel that he goes on about his former manager Roger Hornsby calling him out in front of his parents is one of the funniest things ever to me.
I do love that movie. I haven't seen it. I maybe seen it. Maybe, last time I have seen the movie was maybe a year ago.
It's good, man.
Right. But the TV series you may be getting.
See, listen, I would not be opposed to that.
Me either. Well, again, the whole trope is Hollywood is just rehashing everything. I get that. But there are some things that deserve to be rehashed. I don't know if this is one of them, but it's one I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Well, because at least something like that. One, people love baseball. I don't really know why sometimes, because I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I'm a giant sports guy, and I am not the biggest baseball fan in the world. I find it incredibly boring at times. But I would watch a scripted series on who was right, who was thinking about bringing it out. Was it Netflix or Amazon?
Who? What?
For the League of Their Own.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was...
Maybe in the article, I just didn't write it.
Okay. But yeah, so if one of them puts out a series about that, I would at least tune in for a couple episodes just to see how... Just give it a shot.
I think anyone would, because of the name by itself.
Sure.
It's like, you know the original movie, so most people have seen A League of Their Own.
Yeah, so. And if you haven't, please, you should.
Absolutely.
Seriously, you should.
And the last on the news front is Shane Black, who's involved with Predator. He tweeted out an image. It's an image of a jungle and says, he's coming. You're supposed to find the Predator. Once you see it, it's actually quite obvious, but it might take you a minute. So Shane Black and Fred Dekar are writing the new Predator movie, and it's got a September release date, September 14th, 2018.
I won't watch it unless Danny Glover's in it. Like Predator 2.
Well, then you're not
going
to watch it. Because well, you're not gonna be in it.
So be it then.
He's too old for this.
They made their choice.
They made their choice.
So wait, you said September 2018.
September 14th.
And they're not filming it now. Or they are filming it
now.
No,
it's done. It's in the can.
Oh, it's in a can. Okay, because I'm like, wait. That's a very accelerated timeline to film and edit a whole movie.
No, it's on its way. Shame, it's been a big deal for a while.
Okay. Well, you know what though? To be serious again for a minute, like the movie, The Predators, that movie, the one with Adrian Brody.
I know people like it. I do not.
I actually like that one.
I did not like that one.
I like that one. So I actually don't mind the first Alien versus Predator movie either.
God, those are so bad.
This the first one. Listen, I didn't say it was good. I said I don't mind it.
I actually liked the second one more than the first one on that. I just thought whatever redemption of glimmer of hope was in the second one.
Okay. I mean, maybe I just look at the entire sequence at the end of the first Alien versus Predator where the facehugger alien rips out of his stomach and he has like the little predator mouth, which is just amazing. Yeah. But I don't know. The movie's bad. Don't tell me.
No, they're terrible. There's a whole different level of bad.
So you really didn't like The Predators, huh?
I didn't like the one with Adrian Brody. No.
Okay.
I didn't. I'm looking forward to this one because Shane Black, he's a good writer. He's very confident. I don't think he'll let us down on this one.
Probably
not. It's got to do with soldiers with PTSD fight the Predator in a suburban neighborhood. So that, I guess we're kind of updating.
So it's like Predator comes to suburbs, huh? Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix between the other Predator movies, but it's more of the original Predator. But yeah, but
in like outside of LA, Predator Orange County, is that where we're?
Let's forget about Danny Glover. Let's just about him being in the
There's no too. Reason to forget about Danny Glover. You know what? Speaking of that movie, I just was watching a couple of days ago, which is also bad, but it's one of the ones where I won't stop watching. 2012. 2012 was on.
With the disaster?
Yeah, where the whole world starts falling apart. So, yeah. Danny Glover's a president in that one. So think about it. That's what he got promoted to after he beat the Predator in Predator 2. He's a decorated war hero who becomes the president of the United States. Yeah, I mean, listen. That time. Come on. That's a good continuity right there.
I mean, hey.
Decorated war hero. Seen it happen. I mean, Independence Day says you can be a fighter pilot and become the president.
I belong in the air.
That's right. That's right.
We will not go quietly in the night. That's still a hell of a speech, man. That's one of the better speeches I've ever liked.
I was just having a discussion about the second Independence Day movie, which is just a catastrophe.
It is bad.
It's... I don't even want to talk about it, but I remember when I was... Like, there are some movies at this point where I have no tolerance for, like... Once it crosses a certain threshold of like bullshit of how terrible a movie really is, like I'm out. Like I just cash out in my brain. Like nothing will redeem it.
I was very upset with Resurrection. I was incredibly upset.
I mean, I looked at the people I was with and I was like, this is bad. Yeah. And not a single person was like, no, no. Everybody's like, yeah, it's
terrible.
It's just like that was it. Just yeah, it's bad.
The movie never should not have existed. It almost makes the original Independence Day worse in my memory.
It kind of does because it sullies it a little bit.
It does sully it. I like the idea they brought back the president. I'm okay with Bill Pullman being president again. I'm okay with all that.
Well, he wasn't even the president. He was
just... Or he was the ex-president. But
yeah,
like,
yeah. He was still there. It was fine how he was still there. Still
a major player in sure. this. It was his daughter got involved with the
Will Smith's son. I definitely see why Will Smith read that script and was like, I'm out.
No, like
he's, write me out.
I imagine him reading the script, putting down the table and walking out of the office, never to go back.
And this is the guy that's made some really terrible movie choices, by the way.
Wild Wild West?
Yeesh.
I mean, that was probably a lot of fun to make. And
I
mean, it was
doubt
fun
it.
To watch, but when I was super young. I was 7th or 8th grade when that came out with all my friends. That was a lot of fun to watch for my friends.
Yeesh. Rough one.
Moving on. Trailers. A Quiet Place. We've talked about Cockwalkers enough. Time to talk about Quiet Place. I think this movie looks genuinely creepy as shit.
The more I see the trailer for Quiet Place, the more I'm actually, and this really isn't like the type of movie that I'm into, and I'm feeling it, man. Like
I'm really excited.
I kind of want to see it. Like I really do. Also just because I want to see if Emily Blunt is going to give birth in a bathtub and
with
not
the thing
scream.
Behind her.
Yeah, because, good on her. I've been through some, been with my wife during childbirth. Good luck.
good luck.
Good luck being quiet. So good luck.
I'm really excited about that one, only because I know the script is very short, but it's still a feature-length movie. A lot of it is, you know, for
it's going to be some sign language. Listen, there's going to be some subtitles in that movie. People has to be.
Well, when they do
when they sign,
other,
sure,
because they probably made up their own shorthand sign language, so they get it. So
well, I mean, I figured they might just actually use actual sign language.
Well, I'm just in the trailer, you see that they learn. I mean, the world. Something happens real quick.
Oh, yeah.
So if no one in that family knows sign language, they'd have to be quiet real quick and then have to develop this means this and, like, weird, you know. But I think it's really interesting. I wouldn't be upset if the first half hour of the movie was no verbal dialogue whatsoever.
Well, there's going to be at least the action sequence where something bad happens when the aliens come. But, yeah, there's probably going to be a long 15-20 minute period where you will hear no dialogue.
What I don't want this to be is another village.
Well, nobody wants that because that movie's also bad.
Great soundtrack, though. Great score in Village, but that movie is bad.
That's good. Yeah, let's talk about the score for The Village. This is what we do on a movie podcast, by the way. We talk about scores for awful movies. It's bad. Don't watch it.
No.
Or do watch it and then tell me that it's bad.
Very disappointing, The Village. But A House with the Clock in the Walls. I'm actually really excited about this movie, truth be told. I'm really excited about it. It is... It's got Cate Blanchett, Jack Black, and it looks very old-timey. I think it's supposed to look old-timey. I know Amblin's involved, so Spielberg's company's in there as well, which means it's not going to be ultra-violent. It's going to be kind of geared towards kids. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm already creeped out by it. If you guys watch the trailer, and you should, there's a pumpkin head-looking thing in it. I didn't like it. Not one bit.
Not one bit.
It scared me.
It gets thumbs down.
I get frightened very easily. That's not true, but things freak me out, so...
Fair, fair.
Well, I mean, you guys remember when I talked about Beauty and the Beast a long time ago? Like, Beauty and the Beast creeps me out because, like...
The original or the new one?
The new one with, like, the, you know, the way things, like, are real, but they're not real. They're, like, people-like. I didn't like that at all.
It creeped you out?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm weird. I have problems.
I can see that. I mean, you know, random things creep you out.
Yeah.
You things.
You know. Like if suddenly my candelabra started talking and singing to me, I'd be creeped out by that.
What if it started talking to you with Ian McGregor's voice? And the other one with Patrick's. Wait, who was it? That was Gandalf.
Doesn't make it any less creepy.
Kind of makes it more creepy, actually.
Yeah.
If you know the voice.
Right, if I'm like, I know you.
The thing about the clock and the clock, the house with the clock in the walls is Eli Roth is making it. He just made... didn't he just do the Bruce Willis... What was the movie?
Death Wish. Yeah, he did Death Wish.
Yeah. That movie was not good.
No, it wasn't. Well, I mean, we were talking about that trailer before we started recording today. That trailer is very, very vague on what any idea what this movie might even be about. So.
Well, it's vague on purpose, I'm sure.
That's, oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That comes out in September as well, so.
Good. September. Where movies go
Predator,
to die.
We have House of the Clock in the Wall. Lots of
Uh-huh, yeah, good. Good. Big, big, heavy September slate.
Amen, amen, brother. And then we have Skyscraper with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm actually really excited about this movie because I get excited whenever he's in a movie. I cannot wait to watch it. Directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber. And it's got, you know, here's what I love. It's got Dwayne Johnson, Pablo Schreiber, and Neve Campbell.
Yeah.
Where has she been?
You know what, though? There's a different Skyscraper trailer that was attached to Pacific Rim that I watched, and I looked at my wife and I was like, wait, is that Neve Campbell? It's been forever. And I actually just went on like a mini kick that we just watched a couple of Scream movies, which is actually
the first Scream is real good.
You know what though, this first one's really good, the second one's okay, third one's kind of garbage, but the fourth one where they kind of bring stuff back, I actually enjoyed that movie quite a bit too, because it was like a nice reset for that whole series.
They never continued on with it,
so. No, they didn't, which is fine. I didn't care about that, but you know, Neve Campbell, like, that's what she's most known for. That in Wild Things, where she made out with one. Who cares?
But she's known for that. People know her from that.
Do they?
Maybe not. No. I know her from that.
Yeah, good. Learn a lot about Grayson's life right now. <Part five. coughs> But yeah, it was nice, you know, seeing her.
Yeah. What do you think about the trailer, though? Are you excited that he's going to kick some ass again? He's going to make a leap from that crane to the building? Like,
with one leg? Yeah, you know, here's the thing. I will probably stupidly love Skyscraper. But so, here's the thing with The Rock movies at this point. He doesn't really make or has been involved with any real bad movies recently. At minimum, they're entertaining.
Yeah.
So.
But the thing is, has he in the past... I think The Rock being in it automatically elevates it from it could be bad to it'll be entertaining at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a fair assessment of that. So, I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about Skyscraper. Maybe it seems like a semi-original story. You know, something bad's going to happen in this giant lockdown building, and I'm okay with that. So it's just a standard rescue mission, which
it's
is...
kind of diehardish, but...
Well, maybe. Die Hard with a rock with one leg, sure.
It could get you can get that vibe from it, but we'll see when it actually comes out very soon.
It's not that far off. Well, you know, it's midsummer, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it's midsummer.
Okay, midsummer.
Yeah, you're talking about Rampage. It comes out.
Oh, I was like, okay, yeah. So midsummer. Yeah. So The Rock's in like three movies a year now. Jeez.
Well, I mean, think about it. It'll be Jumanji, Rampage, and
That guy has enough money. He could probably buy a small country somewhere.
Yep, Jumanji, Rampage, and Skyscraper. It'll all be released within 12 months of each other.
Jeez.
And I guarantee you he's got something fourth movie going on right now.
Sure he does. I'm going to just quickly look at his IMDb page, see what else he's got going on. Oh, my goodness. In 2018 and 2019, holy crap. Here's what's been announced. San Andreas 2, Jungle Cruise,
Jumanji 2. Jungle Cruise is the one they're working on right now.
Okay, that's less right, than yeah. It only has announced. Jumanji 2, Doc Savage, Black Adam, Big Trouble in Little China.
What?
He's Jack Burton.
Oh, Pork Chop Express is going to roll again, baby. Listen, I'm really disappointed that's not Kurt Russell coming back.
I mean...
My wife loves that movie, by the way.
That's a great Big Trouble in Little China. It's a great movie.
It's such a weird flick,
though. It is, but hey, it works. I'm just saying it works. And for 2018, 19, and 20, so far, Rampage, Skyscraper, Fighting With My Family, Hobbs and Shaw, which is the Fast and Furious spinoff.
Nice.
Suicide Squad 2, he is Black Adam. That's his character. And Red Notice. Those are the only things in pre-production and announced, so I'm sure there's going to be five more on top of those.
They haven't pegged his Suicide Squad for Black Adam, huh?
I guess that's
I wonder if he's going to be the bad guy.
I would certainly not mind.
Okay.
No, I definitely wouldn't mind. Don't be the bad guy, please.
No, Black Adam's a bad guy.
Well, then he's a bad guy. I don't know my comic book
lore. He's a bad guy.
Dang it.
At least for the most part.
Dang it. Maybe they'll do what they did.
He'll be at most ambiguous.
No. Fair enough. Oh, moving on a little bit to... Before we get into Pacific Rim, I did see Midnight Sun. I'm super excited about it. Roger did not. But I want to talk for just a minute about it. Midnight Sun, it is surprising. It's not a great movie, but it's okay. And by that I mean, now that we live in the MoviePass world, it doesn't kill you to watch a movie you might not like, because ultimately you're paying pennies on the dollar to watch it. So
only if you have MoviePass.
What's that?
Only if you have MoviePass.
I've been talking about it so much, you have to know the plot. A girl who is very sick, allergic to sunlight, it will trigger a disease that will eventually kill her, she runs into the boy she's been watching go, it sounds a little creepy, I know, back and forth from school from her house, up in her protected windows, but behind the protected special windows to keep the sun out. She's been watching him grow up and she's been in love with him. She meets him at the train station, she leaves in a hurry, drops her notebook, he picks it up, he tries to find her, she has to come back to his notebook, they fall in love, and it's really a good kind of ride as long as they're falling in love, because the strength of these two are so good. Now, Scott Speer made it. Bella Thorne, Patrick Schwarzenegger, and Rob Riggle. Bella Thorne is the girl. Patrick Schwarzenegger, the young Schwarzenegger, who looks identical to young Arnold, he's the guy. I was saying Rob Riggle plays her father. Now, I think Rob Riggle, fantastic in this movie. I'm actually upset that I haven't that it's taken me this long to appreciate Rob Riggle for being fantastic, because he is awesome in this movie. I ran out of breath. I said that so fast.
You were really excited about that.
Bella Thorne plays Katie, the girl who's allergic to sunlight. Patrick Schwarzenegger, Charlie, the girl he's in love with. And I'll be honest, this movie, it's for if you're romantic, it's a lot of fun. Not as good as Love, Simon. Not nearly as good as Love, Simon. But better than If You Remember Everything, the one with the little girl. You remember that, Roger?
Yep. One?
Much better than Everything.
She wasn't actually sick. Spoiler alert.
Her mom...
Boom!
What kind of mother lies to you your whole life? Come on now. But there's a couple really wonderful... Don't laugh at me, Roger.
This is the way you said that, like you're dejected.
Dang, man. So there's some really wonderful parts in here. Number one being, there's a part where she's sitting... There's a scene where she's sitting on a couch playing the guitar with her father in the same room. And the camera shot... It shows those two, and then it tracks in slowly on Rob Riggle as the father watching her so happy playing the guitar. And it's a slow track in, and you know we're going to come back to that. You know you're going to come back to that shot because of what eventually happens, and you do. He's remembering all the good things. And that's one of the great... And what makes Bella Thorne as Katie so good is when there's a scene when they're in the back of Charlie's van. She's already very sick. She doesn't have a ton of time left. And she pretty much confesses that she has known Charlie his whole life and she's been in love with him for quite some time.
Yikes.
And it's so well delivered that it actually... I didn't know how they were going to handle it. I didn't know that particular speech was coming. I knew a speech very similar had to come somewhere in the movie. But no, she knocks it out of the park, Bella Thorne does. I mean, this is a movie that will be worth your 2 hours. I don't know how much you're thinking about you're going to do afterwards, but... I definitely recommend watching Midnight Sun. It's a lot of fun. It's very sad. It's very funny at times. But it's worth your time. It's worth your movie pass at the very least.
Okay, I have questions.
Go. Okay.
All right. Here we go. So, she can't go out in the sunlight. Fine. She's dying. I get that. I won't even question. I know there's terrible, awful diseases.
Which you all know from the trailer.
Okay, not, yeah, which is true. No, it's
and
not a spoiler.
Anything Roger can say is not a spoiler anyway. If you haven't seen
yeah, it. I haven't seen this movie, so I'm not going to pretend to. I'm going to make fun of this movie because I have some. Well, I'm going to have some real questions, and I'm going to laugh.
On, go on.
Okay, so. So she's been – what's Patrick Schwarzenegger's character? What's his name? Charlie. So she's been eyeing up Charlie out the window for years at this point, right? Where's Charlie live?
In Facebook. Right down the street.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So she can't go out – she can go outside but not during the sunlight, right? Okay.
Only at night.
So she's been eyeballing this dude for years. All right, she's in love with him.
You've seen the trailer as he skates by as a kid and then he walks by with his graduation cap on. You see the trailer.
That's right. Okay, great. So at one point, you know, at like 9:30 on a Saturday night in like mid-June, why doesn't she go say hi to Charlie?
She's terrified.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Oh. Okay, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever been a 17-year-old girl.
No, I sure haven't.
I mean.
I sure haven't. But
they
can be
pretty shy.
I mean, listen. I get that. And I just want to make some points about how funny it is that she's in love with this dude, right? She has not once met him, like, introduced herself.
Never.
Good God. What?
That's creepy on the same level that you think Wedding Crashers is creepy, that they have one weekend and he falls in love with her.
Sure, yeah, I wouldn't even argue that. I won't even argue that. That's absolutely the same kind of level. She's never spoken to this person.
No,
I love him.
But the thing is, she does finally get the chance to, and she's the one that's trying to get away from him, and he's head over heels for, and he doesn't find out until close to the end that she's actually known
him. Oh, God, she dies in the end, doesn't she?
Look, I did not confirm or deny anything.
Oh,
right there.
No. Yikes.
What are you saying no for?
That's terrible.
I didn't confirm or deny anything.
That's
you have to
fine.
See how the story plays out when you watch it
yeah.
one day.
Yeah, when I watch it one day, that's going to happen. Right.
Yeah, okay.
I think that might be all the now that I know what happens in the end. That's probably about all I really need to know.
Oh,
but you know what though? I did make this same joke a couple of months ago when we first started seeing trailers for this movie about not going out during the daytime. How I spent many many months of my earlier actual adulthood life where I would just go party till like 7 a.m. and then sleep till. Late in the afternoon, where it wouldn't.
I mean, you could have had this. Disease.
Yeah, right. I didn't die.
Especially those kids that like go to swim practice in high school at 5 in the morning, mm-hmm. and then stay for like speech practice after school.
Yeah,
in the winter.
Like, yeah,
they don't see sunlight.
Nope,
they never see sunlight.
I used to work like that. I used to go to work in the dark.
Yep, leave
I'd
in the
look
dark.
Out the windows, and that would be it. I'd be like, "Look, it's daylight somewhere, not where I'm at."
But I did really enjoy Midnight Sun. I was with. Of a pretty young girl. We went on a date, and she really enjoyed it too. She was crying.
Yeah.
She was really... Most of the people in the theater were...
Did you cry?
At several times. I'm not going to confirm or deny that, Roger.
No, he did. Listen, nothing wrong with crying during a movie. No, nothing wrong with crying during a movie. I want to seriously lay that out.
There are certain scenes really designed
they
to...
They pull that out of you, huh? Okay.
But they're written and designed to really, really rip your heart out of your chest. So... There are those two. And I think Rob Riggle, for nothing else, really nails this. If you've never seen Rob Riggle in a serious drama, this is it. Like, check it out.
Sure.
You will not be disappointed. Now, moving on to Pacific Rim.
Well, hold on. I want to throw in one more point. No, I'm not going to make fun of that movie anymore. I do want to be serious about the crying during the movie thing. Totally acceptable, because I actually just rewatched Gifted over the weekend.
Oh, man. Gifted is so good.
Spectacular movie. You should absolutely watch it. And I found myself, because this is probably the third or fourth time I've actually watched Gifted, still crying at the same spot where she has to leave. And I'm just like, why? Like, you know what happens, moron.
Yeah.
Stop this.
Stop
like,
this
I have
thing.
To.
Stop this
I don't
right
know.
Now. You stop this, Captain America, right now.
That's right.
Now.
Stop this.
All right, Pacific Rim, Uprising. Directed by Stephen S. DeKnight. Pretty big cast. John Boyega, who you know from Star Wars, Scott Eastwood, I almost said Clint Eastwood, Scott Eastwood, and Kaylee Spaney. They're the major players. And I got to give a shout out here to, excuse me, I'm like trying to catch my breath, Kaylee Spaney as Amara Namani.
Yeah, the young girl.
Young girl. She's great.
She's really good.
She's on the same level as Boyega, I think, as quality of performance given.
Sure.
Now, that might not be because Boyega maybe... came down a notch because he wasn't as interested in this movie as he may have been.
No, he plays a weird character, though.
So you agree that he gave a good performance, like he meant to give a great performance? Because I think she was every bit as good as he was, if not more.
I'm sure she, I mean, yeah, that's fine, sure.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. She's so better.
Other people in this movie, I mentioned Scott Eastwood. He plays Nate Lambert, the kind of the natural, the kind of the offset to the protagonist. He's
the opposite of old Boyega.
Yeah, they're always going at it, always butting heads.
And yet they're partners. Think about it.
Bern Gorman comes back. Dr. Herman Gottlieb, Charlie Day as Dr. Newton Geisler comes back. Newt comes back. He's a major player in this as well, and a whole list of other people. But so let's start. Just give us an overall spectrum of what you thought, Roger. Give us a 5-second
breakdown. I mean, 5-second breakdown. Listen, if you like the first Pacific Rim movie, and I'm going to reiterate this throughout this entire review, if you like the first Pacific Rim movie, there's no reason for you not to watch this movie. Okay, it does all the fun stuff that the first movie does. It does it, and it goes over the top. Now, in my own mind, it's not always better that it goes over the top with some of it, but I definitely enjoyed some large-scale action sequences. The one thing I kept coming back to in my own mind during this movie was I'm trying to do, like, this damage calculator in my mind of all of the things that they are breaking.
Oh, my goodness. But one simple line that I will say is when there's a big battle that starts and someone says, everyone's been evacuated.
Oh my God. It's impossible. Because literally 10 seconds. Before he says that, like, you see people scrambling, nearly getting crushed by a giant alien foot. Tell me that person is now safe. Do not tell me that.
He's not safe. He's dead.
No. I mean, he might not be dead. But, like, okay, so, I mean, there is clearly safety precautions in case this stuff happens again. Because, like, there's tubes. It literally looks like they get in a tube and shoot to the ground, like some sort of weird subway system, elevator system, which is fine, sure. But don't tell me everybody's evacuated. Literally. They're in, like, Hong Kong or somewhere. There are millions of people in Hong Kong. I'm sorry. What? The main battle takes place in outside Tokyo. They're going to Mount Fuji. How many people are in Tokyo? Like 10 million?
Probably pretty close.
Where do they go?
But I'm sure that line came as a response to everyone in Avengers saying, like, actually, that fight in Avengers, they probably killed thousands of people in the original.
Dude, there's no way this fight didn't kill thousands.
Well, that's what I mean. But thousands. That's the only reason that line was in the movie, was even acknowledged in the movie, I'm sure.
Same with, Superman?
The first, everyone's like, when he...
The Man of Steel?
He's flying through buildings and
buildings exploding.
Every time he goes through a building, you can assume 50 people dead.
Yep.
50 people dead.
$1 trillion in damage. Gone.
that's why that line came about. But you say, because of precautions, because in the first one, these things, because of... who did the first one? What's his name? Del Toro,
sure.
The first one, there's some weird kind of... I won't say alien pred, but, like, it's weird, like, what would you call it? Like, the Pan's Labyrinth, the Blade 2, it's that weird kind of, I don't want to say alien presence, but sci-fi-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the precursors open up a rift and send their monsters through.
Sure.
And then they start killing people, and then we develop these big, what they're not called kaijus.
Jaegers. Kaijus are the bad guys.
Jaegers we develop and make these big Jaegers for our guys to fight the kaiju. So that's where we're starting in the first Pacific Rim. Idris Elba's character, who's leading the Jaegers, they fight the kaiju down to the back of the rift, and he sacrifices himself to close the rift. So that's where we're sitting at going into this movie.
Yep. This is 10 years later.
10 years later, the world is almost rebuilt, although not really, because we start with John...
Well, they do say that there are some places that never recovered.
Never, and these places look like war zones. Still battered, buildings crumbled.
Broken robot parts, old skeletons of kaiju rotting.
And I want to say, the character for the girl, actually, very similar to the girl from the new Transformers movie. Extremely similar. She's taking parts, scrap to, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Very
that's
similar.
Fine.
Kind of eerily similar.
Except this girl can act. And this movie's not as bad.
I wouldn't call this movie great by any means, but
it's
actually a functional movie, though.
It could stand alone. I do think it takes some of the shine off the first Pacific Rim because it tries to overdo some stuff, and it feels...
Very unsuccessfully.
Yeah, it feels like they tried to, like, hey, you know, there's a scene, we can push it a little bit, and it's fine. Some of the stuff is very, very cool, because, you know, especially, you know, graphics and... computer animation has definitely pushed a little bit farther in the last couple of years. So some of the stuff they do is very, very cool. But there are some scenes that I felt, especially because there's a couple of speeches in this movie where they try to like hype it up as this is supposed to be this redeeming moment and everything. And literally after the one speech, I just went, ugh.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like I audibly went, ugh.
But you know what speech wasn't bad was
the one that mattered
in Pacific Rim.
No, yeah.
We're canceling the apocalypse.
Yeah, that was an awesome speech.
Bad? Because it was Elba just a better actor than John Boyega.
True, yeah, that's not even a question.
No.
But you know what, though? There is one speech in this movie where, like, it's not as rah-rah. It's like real, what it would be like if this stuff was happening. That was a very admirable speech.
What
it
I don't
felt,
understand...
felt good, did not feel manufactured.
Here's my problem with this movie is these... cadets that are piloting these Jaegers are they're kids.
They are
kids.
But you know what though? I could actually see something like that happening in the real world because eventually you have to bring maybe not their age kids, but they're not children. They're upper teens.
Well, upper teens, lower 20s. I get that. And it also updated the original one by saying there a big push here is in technology they're trying to remote pilot.
Like a drone program.
The Jaegers. So yeah, it's kind of like a... These kids would be... You're right, though. Kids would be way more adept. If this really did happen, you're better off putting a kid in there who plays video games for 10 hours than an adult.
Most things, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
Especially if they were doing the drone program, but yeah. They're not doing the drone program here.
Yeah.
At least I mean, not really.
But my thing is, why is everything going to kids? Why is... Everything gets younger and younger with who you... As far as the characters you write into these.
It makes it more marketable for the next movie.
It does, but at the same time, you're shunning a whole... The older generation. Like, this is ridiculous. I don't want to watch this.
But you did want to watch it. And you did watch it.
I'm different. Because I want to watch every single movie that ever comes out. But a lot of people aren't like me. And I forget that sometimes. And don't care about every movie that comes out. I do.
Well,
I'm
look
excited because it continues the story.
Look at it from the child actor side of it. Is like you get to watch some of these kids grow up. Because no matter what you think of this movie, inevitably there will be a third one.
This movie walks right
into they open up the last 30 seconds of this movie. This door is wide open. And it basically confirms that if everything falls the way it should be, there will be a third one of these, which is fine. It's fine, and I'm good with it, because at least at this point, I'd like to see that story, that trilogy, come to a close. With the kids, as if you put kids there, you know, they're only going to grow up a little bit. You know, they'll just be more seasoned actors for the next movie.
You're right. I mean, they'll be a little better, I hope. But so moving on to – so the story is John Boyega's father – was the one who sacrificed himself, and he's kind of... I do like how there's a complexity of him, like, kind of failing to live up to his father's name. Or like
he washed out of the program. He quit the program.
Everyone looks at him like, your father was it Pentecost?
Yeah, Pentecost.
Your father was Pentecost, and you're not doing... He's like, no, I'm not my father. But, that's some complexity I'm glad we were able to have in that second.
Yeah, that's definitely a good dynamic, especially without Elba there to actually act off of it, so...
I agree. I mean, it was... there were surprising moments with Boyega's his emotional state at the time, his inner monologues of how he's fighting, living up to either being his father or not, which I really appreciate.
I would have killed for a flashback.
Of what? Of Elba?
Yeah.
Elba probably said, I'm not doing this.
But here's the thing, right? So get him in there for one day. You film 45 seconds worth of dialogue the day that Jake ends up getting kicked out of the Pan Pacific Defense Force, which is the Jaeger program. Just have him tell him like he's disappointed in him or something, like something that would hurt him dramatically. Like that would have helped that story a lot.
I agree. Or a letter or something that came from his father.
Also, just because Idris Elba should be in every movie.
He's good. He's super good.
Good.
I mean, he was Dark Tower sucked, but Idris Elba did not suck.
It's not his fault.
Not his fault.
Not
he tried his best.
He tried real hard.
So we have Boyega kind of like living the life. Kind of you see him partying, dancing, and then just throwing at the end, waking up in a pool, just not really caring what he's doing in life.
Sleeping, passed out on the jet ski, which was impressive.
With some women.
Sure.
So very impressive. And then we kind of have him. He comes in contact with a little girl who's. Actually, he's working to steal a part.
He's stealing a part that she...
From a Jaeger program. From a Jaeger...
She steals literally seconds before he gets there.
So he's on the run from people he went to steal with and is not there. So then he runs into this girl who they end up remote. They were in the piloting, what's it called? Scrapper.
Scrapper. That Jaeger that she built.
That little scrapper, and then they get kind of shanghaied into the Pan Pacific Defense Force again, and then he's recognized and he's kind of forced to become kind of a teacher.
So he doesn't go to jail, he has to go back to work. Right. And then she's the new recruit to the program.
But again, at this time there's no threat yet. There's no kaijus, no bad guys. And then all of a sudden one day a rogue Jaeger comes up out of the water and is being piloted and causing major havoc. And then, of course, we're thrown back into using the Jaegers to fight the Jaegers. I was wondering how they're going to. Once I saw that Jaeger come out of the water, I'm like, okay, the name makes sense. Pacific Rim Uprising, now people have the technology, now it's about world domination.
Yep.
But I'm kind of glad that later the Kaiju is reincorporated into
it. It does. I actually was very surprised about how they went around that circle. Without any real spoilers, all that stuff is pretty much connected to each other. Which is cool. It's pretty cool how that's one of the stronger parts of this movie. The way that they wrote this story, how that they reincorporate the Kaiju and the precursors who make the Kaiju, how they bring that story to life, and this is actually pretty neat. It's a little bit far-fetched, but if you watch the first movie, you can be like, okay, I kind of see that. Could happen, sure. And it does happen, so...
This whole thing is far-fetched, but like you're watching it to enjoy it, and like you're watching it to the story. So
you don't have to think about it too much.
No, you don't. But I mean, going into this movie, you know the Kaiju exists, you know that the Jaegers exist, and there's a program to fight off the Kaiju and save. You know, but like once you're into that, you're into it. Like once you get sucked into that universe, for 2 hours you're into it. So I'm not quite sure I agree with who the bad guy is. I'm not quite sure I agree with that route of the story. But it's a bit strange, but
again though the way they bring that together, I didn't hate it. Could have been better. That whole reveal could have been written better. Probably.
I think so.
But I didn't have a problem with how it played out. It was just not that well written.
No, it was meant to be like a oh my goodness moment when you finally realize what's going on, but it wasn't. That's you're right about that. It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. It could have been like
could have been a lot better.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, should have been a lot better.
Should have been.
Given Guillermo made the first one.
That's big shoes to fill, man.
I always wondered how the hell he got sucked into that. Like why he probably had other things he wanted to do. Why the heck did he even
I don't understand why he's not the one behind the helm this time.
Well, he probably didn't want to be.
But see, why? Why not?
He's doing other things.
Fine. But it's like when you have your own mini franchise.
That should have been Transformers.
I don't see it. Nothing should be Transformers.
Well, that would have been though. I mean, even if okay, the first one we just said decent movie,
sure,
good characters, it worked. The second one didn't, but let's just say when did the first one come out? When did that first one come out? Were you still marquee when that came out?
God, how long? I don't know.
It's been long enough ago.
We're talking about Transformers, right?
No, Pacific Rim.
No, I was still marquee at the time. Yeah,
Pacific Rim, the first Pacific Rim.
Yep.
I don't remember.
2013.
Okay, yeah. 13.
So 5 years later.
So because this came out 5 years later, I was surprised when Guillermo wasn't behind it. Because usually when it's for a franchise, studio says, no, we want another one. The original director's like, nope, I don't want to do it. It's too soon. But this has been five years.
Yeah, it's not too soon.
So you're right. I don't know why he wasn't more involved in this one.
If there is a third movie, it won't be 5 years from now.
It'll be like 2 years
from
now.
It'll be 2 years from now. Yep. I think there definitely will be a third movie, too, by the way.
Well, yeah. No, well, of course. The story walks right into it.
What do you think of the action in this movie?
Which is really the
big selling point of a movie.
Of course.
Like this.
I mean, I didn't hate it. Again, we're at the point in computer animation and CGI and all that where it almost looks like it could happen.
Sure.
It's not like you're watching Godzilla, a really... Like, when the CG, like King Kong Godzilla, when like... You watch stage like God, that's awful CG. Like it wasn't; it was practical. It had to be practical.
Had practical like effects.
That. But like now, it's
no practical effects in this movie.
But I mean, we watch something like. But so I didn't hate the. If I didn't like anything about a scene, it was how the characters acted or how we cross cut between the action outside of the suits, you know, on the scale, and then back into the suits when they're piloting it. That's what I have a problem with. The dialogue and them being in sync with each other, kind of silly at times. But again, I'm willing to suspend all that and just enjoy the action sequence. So as a whole, I did enjoy all the action sequences. Sure. I didn't hate any of them.
I'm glad you brought up a point about dialogue. There is some rough dialogue in this movie.
Really bad
dialogue. Like, cringe-inducing, just like, ugh. Like, seriously, I'm not kidding when, like, the one speech comes through. And if you guys watch this movie, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
I mean, but with just like any movie, you kind of have to have sit through that cringe-inducing dialogue sometimes. It's just,
why?
Because every line of dialogue can't be, you know.
Well, listen, not everything has to be an Oscar-winning. Like, hey, this guy put out a 40-second speech and he's gonna get nominated for an Oscar now. I don't expect that.
No, you shouldn't expect.
You
that.
Shouldn't it's not want a, big deal, a really. Normal movie person looking at him and be like, ew.
That's true. I mean, you're not wrong about that. Nothing wrong about that. Without spoiling anything, did you like how the movie ended? How they were able to resolve it?
I was okay with that. Because
with the mega kaiju.
That was kind of neat to me.
I think so.
Because it was unexpected.
Very.
I thought that was very unexpected. So I was okay with that. I was okay with how it ended. Like I said, I like this movie overall. It's not nearly as good as the first one. That's the only thing.
But it's fun, man.
It is fun. Like, it is fun. It's a little too much fun. Not enough good movie.
Okay, I can understand. I can understand that. They
went too big and didn't maintain the charm of the first movie to me.
Agree. Only because I think the cast is significantly downgraded in this movie.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's also
fair.
That's
definitely a fair assessment.
Like, hugely downgraded. But, again, I like John Boyega. I like the girl.
Scott Eastwood's character is just a douche.
He's completely stalled. Like, he's predictable. He's just, you know exactly.
He's a trope.
Exactly. You know exactly how it's going to play out. As soon as he comes on screen, you know how everything's going to play out with every scene that he's in is going to end. I mean, he's there to offset Boyega's character and make Boyega's character better. I mean, to that camaraderie to eventually bring that back.
It's like some weird military good cop, bad cop thing.
I mean, I guess, but sure. I went in this movie expecting a significant downgrade in quality, but it's not, as Roger said, it's not as bad as you would think given the first one, who was working on it, who was in it. This one's not that much worse as you would think it would be.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah.
But I mean, I did like it. We are going to get a third one. I'll bet you the third one comes out in 2019. No,
2020. No later than 21.
We are definitely getting that, especially with the money it's made. It's already in 250. Like it's already. Sure.
The overseas market loves this movie, so
they will continue,
which is fine.
It.
Yeah, they will.
Until Avengers comes out,
right up their alley. So. I did like the nod in Tokyo where they are smashing through things, and you see the Gundam statue.
Oh,
I don't know if you noticed
that's
that.
Really cool.
Wait, it's like I thought. It's like, huh? Because if there was a Jaeger that looked like a Gundam, oh yeah, baby.
I mean,
give me some of that.
They all kind of do.
No, they need to really look like the Gundam. Give me Mobile Suit Gundam all day, baby.
Mobile Suit Gundam. That's an anime, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Mobile Suit Gundam.
Legendary anime.
It's actually really good. I haven't seen any, but I've heard it's really good.
Yep, legendary anime. There's like 19 levels of Gundam at this point, though. I'm sure.
You've not been keeping up with the Gundams.
No, I'm out.
So, I mean, what about just real quick? Larger than life monsters and robots. Are we getting sick of that as far as films go? Seeing as how in the past, since 2007, we've had 5 Transformers movies. We had 2 of these. Other movies sprinkled in between. Is it getting kind of out of hand?
I don't know. It's getting to the point where more people have to look at a movie and be like, this needs to be a better movie than what some of them are. Because listen, I'm not going to hate on Transformers that much today. But a lot of those movies just aren't very good.
They're not. I love them.
Well, listen, it's fine. Like I'm not even trying to go down that road today. But those movies, if they were better, you wouldn't have to worry about that question as much. I think,
right.
Honestly, like this movie's perfectly serviceable. It's just not as good as the movie before it. I don't think there's any. I think people will always be enthralled with the larger than life giant monsters, giant robots. I think that will always be a thing. You're going to see some of that coming in Ready Player One. Spoiler alert, there's going to be a giant robot battle. It's going to happen. I know it happens.
But you know why people are enthralled by it? Because that's something that we're never going to experience.
Because it's cool, man. Because it's cool.
And it's something we can never experience outside of the movie. Like if you want to see giant robot on robot action, even like something like Real Steel, you have to go watch a movie. you can't experience that in real life anywhere, at least not yet.
Not yet. One question before. Have you ever played the Titanfall video games?
I played the first one, not the second
one. Okay, the first Titanfall. Great, pretty good game. Second Titanfall is actually a much better game than the first one. It actually has a real story. Very good. There to me was a moment in this movie where it was straight out. It was straight Titanfall.
You think so?
I do. And if anybody catches what I'm talking about, let me know, because I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to do that in this case. But I definitely felt there was like a 30-second sequence in this movie. I was just like, yep, straight up Titanfall right there, Titanfall 2.
I didn't even notice that. It's been a long time.
Well, if you never played the second game, you wouldn't get it.
I've not played the second one, so I wouldn't.
You should. You should play Titanfall. That one better story than Pacific Rim 2. It does, and it's excellent.
Like, the first one does not have a campaign. It does like, not. Why would you do that? Anyway, we're not a video game podcast, but
we could be.
Moving on to the Clark Hayes list, I really did give this a lot of thought. I was really struggling, but I think ultimately, Godzilla, 1954. The movie that started it all, Gojira, 1954, directed by Ishiro Honda. This is, you know, it's black and white. It's real campy. The effects are all practical. The effects are very early in the effects world. But it's a fun movie, and it, you know, you've heard of Godzilla, you've seen the Matthew Broderick Godzilla 2000 or 98-ish.
Yeah.
Then there's the remake, the rehashing Godzilla 2014.
Which I actually like that movie, by the way.
I rather enjoyed it. And we're getting another one in 2019.
I'm okay with that.
So as Godzilla and the Monsters. So it's not called that. It's called, I forget what it's called, but it's got some monsters in the title. But we're getting another one. But go back and watch the original one. If you liked, you know, the Pacific Rim is larger than life kind of fighting going on. And it's, if you really enjoy that, go back to the beginning and check it out. Again, 1954, Godzilla, directed by Ishiro Honda. It's kind of got that, where, like, you see Godzilla and he's like, it's really bad. At one time it would have been awesome, but it's kind of like, it's fun and it's inventive and it started a whole genre of those kind of movies.
You know, every week we talk about a Clark Hayes movie that you should probably watch, and a lot of times we have personal choices for reasons other than another. With this one, you know, it's rare to ever get to a movie that literally changed how movies are. This invented an entire genre of movies, which is, that's pretty cool.
Especially the Japanese culture, they have never stopped loving Godzilla.
They love this, which is fine. And if you've never seen this movie, you should. If you ever really want to be interested in movies, you should take a couple hours of your life, look it up, watch the movie, and you'll be happy. Listen,
you won't be disappointed, I'll tell you that much.
You won't be disappointed, and you'll look about how far, especially if you've just seen Pacific Rim Uprising, how far movies have come.
That's a good point, because Pacific Rim is like the end of the spectrum right now, as well as the beginning of the spectrum.
This is where it starts. So. This is the current end point.
I mean, we come to a point where the giant robots fighting in the street is almost, it's nothing new.
Nope, and you look at it going, that's cool, man.
And back then, it would have been like, very new. People would have been, I mean, it's one of those things, like, people were probably scared of the movie watching it.
Dude, I still think back to when I was a little kid, like when Power Rangers, which is a legendary Japanese series that became a legendary American series, about watching that on every day before school and on Saturday mornings, about how it was literally just a guy dressed up in a suit with cardboard looking at it. And that's like, and how far we've come with things like that, with the last Power Rangers movie, and now with like Pacific Rim. Like, I will always have an attachment to that. So,
well, it's nostalgia, cool. People like
it. It's great. What propels, it's great. You know? Which is why you should watch that movie.
Gojira. Check that out. Thank you for listening to our episode. As always, you can tweet the show at Love Cinema Pod. You can check out the Facebook page by the same name as the show, For the Love of Cinema. Check out, I put trailers up. I will post the picture we talked about with Shane Black and the Predator picture. See if you can find Predator in the picture. Check out that. You can download the show on iTunes. You can set it to automatically download if you like a conversation. Or we really appreciate you listening and invite you to be part of the show by getting a hold of us, maybe wanting to come on the show, talk about some of your favorite movies. We welcome that. Again, you can find us on iTunes or Google Play if you're an Android user, and or straight from the Podbean website where I upload it. You can find us all there. I can reach at Grayson Maxwell 1.
And I can be at Rod Stillion.
And we just we hope you keep listening. And the movies for the one movie for next week is Ready Player One.
That's so right.
If you've not seen it, check that out and then tune into the show. You'll see what we thought about it. I'm sure the response is going to be overwhelmingly positive.
Hope so. I've been looking forward to it. Like I said, if you listen the last couple of weeks, I did read the book just very recently again. So
the very large book.
A very, very large book. I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
So, again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful evening. And I hope you had a great Easter.
See you.